Today, why British socialite Ghislaine Maxwell is facing up to 35 years in a US prison. The photographs are almost unbelievable. In one, she poses, giggling alongside the actor Kevin Spacey, as the pair lean back into the Queen's plush thrones in Buckingham Palace. In another, she's at the door to a private jet, with Bill Clinton's arm resting on her shoulder. There's Naomi Campbell, Donald Trump, and so often, Prince Andrew. Perhaps the most striking picture of all was taken at his daughter's birthday party. Looking straight into the camera, in a mask adorned with red feathers, she's standing with the now convicted rapist Harvey Weinstein, and, dressed in a bright white naval uniform, the sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. It was when he took his own life inside a prison cell in New York that the world's attention turned to the woman by his side in that image, Ghislaine Maxwell.
Where in the world is Ghislaine Maxwell? Well, last week, after almost a year of speculation, we got our answer. A 156-acre property in New Hampshire, the scene of one of the most anticipated arrests in recent history.
Ghislaine Maxwell is facing charges that she allegedly recruited women and girls for sex offender the late Jeffrey Epstein.
Now she's been charged with trafficking minors for Epstein and faces up to 35 years in prison. When she appeared on a large video screen from a grey prison room on Tuesday, with her hair scraped back into a bun, it was a far cry from her days surrounded by princes, presidents, and celebrities. Maxwell took off her glasses to plead not guilty, but was refused bail.
Well, essentially, the judge agreed with the argument of prosecutors that Ghislaine Maxwell was a significant flight risk. They also went through, by the way, in quite a lot of detail, Ros, how she behaved on the day she was arrested. She tried to get away from FBI agents, that her mobile phone was wrapped in tin foil to evade law enforcement.
From The Guardian, I'm Anushka Astana. Today in Focus, who is Ghislaine Maxwell and does she hold the key to justice for Epstein's victims? Mark Seal, you've written about Ghislaine Maxwell for Vanity Fair. She's the daughter of Robert Maxwell. Tell me about him.
Robert Maxwell remains one of the great mysteries of Ghislaine's story. He was born into a Hasidic family in Czechoslovakia.
They were very poor. We didn't have things that other people had. They had shoes and they had food and we didn't.
Jan Ludwig Hawk was his real name. He survived the Holocaust and fought in bloody battles across Europe, and he changed his name a couple of times. When he finally arrived in London, he renamed himself Robert Maxwell, and he became a media baron, a rival to Rupert Murdoch.
Despite his lack of education, he'd earned millions by creating one of the world's leading scientific publishers. He'd used his money to buy publicity, win a Labour seat in the House of Commons, and provide luxury for his nine children.
We both teach them that having money isn't just everything. The privilege of money also imposes duties and limitations.
He owned the Mirror in London and the New York Daily News and many other companies around the world. He was big, he was bombastic, he was demanding. He dined with kings and heads of state. And Ghislaine was his youngest child. His adored daughter. Later, she said she was told that her name means ray of sunshine. And she was cherished by her father, and she grew up in privilege in a 51-room Oxford mansion.
Tell me about his death.
So, November 1991, Ghislaine's world and the Maxwell family's world fell apart.
The millionaire newspaper publisher Robert Maxwell is dead. He disappeared overboard from his private yacht early this morning while cruising off the Canary Islands.
Her father's naked body was discovered floating in the sea. He was 15 miles off his yacht, the Lady Ghislaine, which was named for his youngest daughter, and he either jumped, fell, or was pushed. And to this day, nobody knows 100% for sure what happened.
Nobody knows, but lots of people talk about it.
Oh my gosh. His death remains a mystery, and people would say, did he commit suicide rather than face his financial crimes?
Mirror Group Newspapers has just said that significant assets of their pension fund had been lent or transferred to private companies controlled by Robert Maxwell, apparently without due authority.
Did he die during sex with a mistress? Did he fall overboard during his regular post-midnight, I don't know if I can say, piss over the railings? Was he murdered by British security agents, panicked that he'd taken possession of incriminating tapes? Or was he injected with a poisonous syringe by frogmen sent to silence him? These were just some of the theories that occurred after his death.
Do we know what his beloved daughter thought?
I want also to thank the press for their courtesy and consideration to my mother and to us.
On the day after his death, Ghislaine flew in from London, and she was weeping throughout that day, obviously. But it was odd. I spoke to some people who were there that day, and they said once she addressed the media, she somehow gained strength, and she said, I think he was murdered. And I think that's what she believed, as did many people.
Do we know how it impacted her life to lose him?
One thing was clear, his empire was heavily indebted, and he had pledged his company's pensions funds to shore it up. And that exposed his 32,000 employees to retirement ruin, which made huge news in London and worldwide.
I mean, I just about remember it. That really, really damaged the Maxwell name in this country.
Big in life, Maxwell's enduring legacy was to author Britain's biggest fraud.
By then, obviously, Robert Maxwell had gone. What did it mean for his family?
His family was obviously distraught not only over the death, but also over the aftermath of the death. You know, no one was more shocked and distraught at the revelations than Ghislaine. And in the story I quoted, The Times of London, someone told The Times that she had always been the life and soul of the party wherever she wanted to go in the world and never had to worry about money. And now she was the shattered child of a man described as a monster in the media. And the same friend told The Times she was catatonic. It hit her in a way that scared people. You know, the tabloids hunted the family. You know, her elegant, erudite mother, Betty Maxwell, said that she was having to sleep by day and work by night. And Ghislaine had always been her father's ambassador to America. And to America, she returned in the wake of her father's death and the controversy surrounding it. And here in America, we don't know exactly when, but probably in the early 90s, 90 or 91, she began a relationship with a man as mysterious as her father, Jeffrey Epstein.
Do we know how Ghislaine Maxwell had met Jeffrey Epstein?
We don't know. There's various theories about that, but we do know that they were together. According to the indictment, the U.S. attorney said that from 94 to 97 were the years of her intimate relationship with Epstein.
And we know that her life had been shattered in London. Did she start to rebuild it in New York?
She did, yes. And Hello magazine did probably the only really longish interview with Ghislaine. That was in 97, and she was living in a smaller apartment, and she had started to rebuild her life as a business consultant. And the article was a cover story and filled with pictures of Ghislaine in New York as well as in London with her family. As her relationship with Jeffrey Epstein grew, I was told that she was his gatekeeper into civilized society because she knew everybody. If you look at the pictures, you see her with everybody and everywhere. Jeffrey had the money, but he didn't know what to do with it, said someone, and she showed him. Soon he had six different properties, from a massive ranch in New Mexico to his own island in the Caribbean.
From the air, opulence is on display. Two pools, perfectly manicured beaches lined with palm trees. Epstein used to fly out here, we're told, on his private chopper.
All of which Ghislaine managed. And she was soon living in her own five-story, 7,000-square-foot townhouse on East 65th Street, one of the great residences of the east side of New York City, which became something of a social nexus.
And what about her relationship with Epstein? You said they had been lovers. That changed, didn't it?
It did at some point. She started working for him, managing his properties. There was a story that's been told about her having tea with a friend and the phone rings, and it was apparently Jeffrey, and he had the flu and needed the best chicken soup in New York. And she had to go and get it herself. And the friend said, you know, he has people on staff. Couldn't he do it? She said, no, it has to be me. There was a quote in an earlier Vanity Fair story where Epstein said, when the relationship is over, the girlfriend moves up, not down, to friend status.
So essentially what he was saying was Ghislaine Maxwell became more, not less important to him when they actually moved on from an intimate relationship themselves to this relationship where she seemed to be managing his households, but also managing his contacts. I mean, you mentioned that she had been pictured with everyone, and perhaps one of the most famous of those people that we're talking about is her link to Prince Andrew. There have been some pretty extraordinary images. He hosted her 39th birthday party in Buckingham Palace in 2000. She's been pictured sitting on thrones with Kevin Spacey in 2002. And a picture accompanying your piece, which is pretty shocking, of Epstein, Maxwell and convicted rapist and former Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein at Prince Andrew's daughter, Princess Beatrice's 18th birthday party. That seems to suggest a very close relationship.
It does. And these photographs are testament to whatever friendship they had or have. And I'm sure we'll be learning more about that in the days and weeks to come.
So there are now allegations that Ghislaine Maxwell wasn't just managing the households or the parties or even just the contact list, but she's been accused of introducing Epstein to a long list of victims. Through your reporting, did you hear about that?
Yeah, you know, what I was hearing is that, you know, whenever she would meet a young woman, she would invite them to tea with Jeffrey. You know, I was told about her frequenting events and spas and different places to look for people. One Christmas, a very rich man threw a big party in New York, and I was told that Ghislaine swept in and scanned the room, her eyes falling on two young sisters, and said, oh my God, look at those girls. I didn't realize they were so beautiful and wanted to meet them. And the friend said, why? And she said, I'd like to meet them because I know Jeffrey would. And, you know, these stories run throughout the civil cases against her, as well as the new criminal case. The Southern District of New York charged that she assisted, facilitated, and contributed to Jeffrey Epstein's abuse of minor girls.
Maxwell was among Epstein's closest associates and helped him exploit girls who were as young as 14 years old. Maxwell played a critical role in helping Epstein to identify, befriend, and groom minor victims for abuse. In some cases, Maxwell participated in the abuse herself.
Her methods, according to prosecutors, involved befriending some of Epstein's minor victims prior to their abuse, including by asking the victims about their lives, their schools, and their families, and building friendships with these minor victims. She pretended to be a woman they could trust. But, you know, she had also consistently denied ever, soliciting underage girls. And I think denials will continue from her lawyers in the days to come.
Okay, so we know what happened next for Epstein. The law began to close in on him in 2005. And in 2008, he served a short sentence after a now very controversial plea deal.
Because of a deal struck in 2008, Epstein pleaded guilty to state charges, including soliciting prostitution from a minor, in exchange for avoiding federal prosecution. In that agreement, the U.S. attorney makes it clear that his office and the FBI were investigating much more serious federal charges.
During this period, more and more victims kept coming forward, and the full extent of Epstein's abuse began to slowly unravel. It seems from your reporting that Ghislaine Maxwell was trying to distance herself, publicly at least, from Epstein during this period. What was she doing?
Yeah, so according to court papers, he convinced her to come back to work for him in 2004. And she stated in court documents that she was employed by him from approximately 1999 to at least 2006. But in 2012, she turned her focus on something she felt needed saving, which is the ocean. And she created the Terramar Project.
The ocean is absolutely vital to all planetary life systems. I call it the blue heart of the planet.
Its mission statement was to build a global community to give a voice to the least explored, most ignored part of our planet, the high seas. And she spoke at a TED event and many times before the United Nations.
First of all, Your Excellencies, Presidents, Lords, Ladies and Gentlemen, I just would like to thank you so much, and it's such an honor to be here.
It was sort of a new role in her life. She became a conservationist for the high seas. And then before she disappeared, she disbanded Terramar.
Right. And throughout that period, victims and their lawyers had begun to pursue her, hadn't they?
They had, but only in civil cases. She had not been criminally charged yet. So Bradley Edwards is an attorney in the U.S., and he was determined to depose Ghislaine about her relationship with Epstein in what he would call his 12-year campaign to bring Epstein to justice.
Yeah, you can't overstate her role. Without her, there would be no Epstein, meaning the monster that we all know could not have existed without Ghislaine Maxwell.
And he became convinced that Ghislaine was the most important of all, the key to unlocking Epstein's secret world, the one woman who, by all appearances, Epstein treated as his equal. So he hired investigators to track her, and he succeeded in serving her at the Clinton Global Initiative annual meeting in New York. And later in his book, Edwards wrote, to say she was upset about being publicly served at this function is an understatement.
Did anything happen as a result of that deposition?
She wasn't deposed yet on that, but she was deposed 6 years later in the case of Virginia Roberts.
Kind of worked like a pyramid scheme. Ghislaine brought me in. I brought other girls in.
Virginia Roberts worked at Mar-a-Lago when she said Maxwell had recruited her as a traveling masseuse for Epstein.
And I guess what happened in 2015 was the time that Ghislaine Maxwell's name really got to the center of this scandal, when Virginia Roberts Guffrey, who had been known as Virginia Roberts and was a victim of Jeffrey Epstein when she was just 17 years old, basically accused Ghislaine Maxwell of being at the center of this scandal. And Maxwell reacted with fury. She put out an urgent statement. She accused the claim of being defamatory and obvious lies. And then in return, Guffrey sued Maxwell for defamation. What happened?
Yeah, so this was a chance for attorneys to finally depose Ghislaine, which they did in April and July of 2016. It took place over several days, led by Roberts' attorneys, David Boies and Sigrid McCauley. And throughout, Ghislaine proclaimed her innocence really strongly, at one point banging her fist on the table. The indictment against her charged that during these depositions, she committed two counts of perjury.
So what happened to her?
So the parties settled that lawsuit out of court. That was 2016.
The thing I find really striking about all of this is that even after she and other victims of Epstein repeatedly named Maxwell and pursued her legally, she still pushed on with a pretty public and lavish lifestyle, even as recently as last year.
Yeah, so in the spring and early summer of 2019, when the U.S. attorney reopened the criminal investigation into Jeffrey Epstein, she was far away On June 6th of that year, she supposedly met with Prince Andrew in Buckingham Palace.
When was your last contact with her?
It was earlier this year, funny enough, in the summer, in the spring, summer.
About what?
She was here doing some rally.
And Andrew would later say in the interview on Newsnight that she was here doing some rally, which was an understatement, because the rally was Cash and Rocket. It's an amazing charity rally in which 80 prominent women from around the world drive 1,500 miles in red Ferraris, Alfa Romeos, and Bentleys from London to Paris to Geneva to Monte Carlo, parties and photo opportunities along the way. And you can see her in some of the rally photographs.
Everything changed dramatically straight after that.
Billionaire businessman Jeffrey Epstein was arrested in New York Saturday on federal charges related to sex trafficking. The 66-year-old hedge fund manager has long been accused of sexually abusing underage girls.
By this point, Maxwell appeared to have disappeared, but you have been trying to understand what had actually happened. Do you know?
So these theories that followed her, each one was more amazing and more wild than the last. People said she was hiding in a submarine, which she is licensed to pilot. She was in Israel, they said, under the protection of the Mossad. She was walking the streets of Paris with a blanket over her head near the Israeli embassy. Some said she was in the FBI witness protection program. Others said she was sunning herself on the beaches of Spain, or in a high-security doomsday bunker belonging to rich and powerful friends whose lives might implode if she revealed what she knows. And then she was supposedly photographed in a now-famous picture eating an In-N-Out hamburger in Los Angeles near Universal Studios 2 days after Jeffrey Epstein's apparent suicide. And that made headlines once again because so many people said, could this be real? While others said it was a Photoshop fake to throw the media off her trail.
And you've spoken to people to try and find out about her lifestyle during that period. What was she doing day to day?
I was told that she was exercising, running on neighborhood roads, always accompanied by security. Supposedly, her life had become focused on the then civil cases against her, and then at night reading. And the books apparently include Boris Johnson's recent book and Bradley Edwards' book, Relentless Pursuit, My Fight for the Victims of Jeffrey Epstein. And then she did not surface for sure until she was arrested on July 2nd. It was a 4,000 square foot home on 156 wooded acres, appropriately called Tucked Away, that she bought last December in an all-cash purchase for a little over $1 million. And it was described in its listing, the house was an amazing retreat for the nature lover who wants total privacy. And also it was an area where she had no other known connections in this small town, Bradford, New Hampshire.
Breaking news on Jeffrey Epstein, Fox News alert. We are just now learning the FBI has confirmed to Fox News that Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein's former girlfriend and accused madam, was arrested today, 8:30 a.m. in Bradford, New Hampshire.
Coming up, what now for Ghislaine Maxwell? Victoria Bekempis, you're covering the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell for The Guardian. She was taken from that property in New Hampshire and placed behind bars. Tell me about the charges against her.
Maxwell faces a 17-page indictment that charges her with six counts. The counts all involve her alleged participation in Jeffrey Epstein's sex trafficking of minors, and also two perjury counts related to her allegedly lying during civil litigation involving some of the abuse allegations. She is accused of playing a critical role in helping Epstein find and befriend and groom minor victims for sexual abuse. And prosecutors have also said that at times, Maxwell herself participated in this sexual abuse.
And when we're talking about this, who are the victims? We hear a lot about Ghislaine Maxwell and Jeffrey Epstein's kind of glamorous lifestyle in New York. But many of the women who were making these accusations come from really difficult backgrounds, don't they?
Maxwell allegedly made a point of targeting vulnerable young women who were not of means, who didn't have support systems, and would have been easily lured into a bad situation. When you look at the charging paperwork and prosecutors' allegations, you can see how, if true, this type of attention would be particularly appealing to a vulnerable person. She and Epstein allegedly took these victims shopping and to the movies.
Do we know anything yet about the defense she's likely to mount?
So one of the elements her defense team has said that she plans on mounting is that when Epstein landed in legal trouble in South Florida, the proceeding that landed him to becoming a convicted sex offender, there was a controversial deal brokered with the U.S. Attorney's Office in that area. It included a very strange non-prosecution agreement that didn't just bar, theoretically, Epstein from being prosecuted again, but the non-prosecution agreement also protected, supposedly, any potential co-conspirators of Epstein.
So what you're saying is her lawyers will argue that she should be protected by a non-prosecution agreement back in 2007 with the Justice Department?
Effectively, yes. That would probably be the best way to sum it up.
I find that unbelievable. In the meantime, where is she being held?
Maxwell is being held at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn. It is a federal jail that has about 1,500 inmates, and this is a jail that has been accused of keeping inmates in inhumane and unconstitutional conditions.
If she's found guilty, how long can she expect to spend in jail?
Maxwell faces up to 35 years in federal prison. However, her lawyers argue that she would realistically face a lot less than that.
It is pretty clear, isn't it, that his suicide was a major turning point for the victims, as one of them, Jennifer Arroz, says, who claims that Epstein raped her when she was just 14. The fact that I will never have the chance to face my predator in court eats away at my soul. They let this man kill himself and kill the chance for justice for so many others in the process, taking away our ability to speak. Victoria, some say that when Epstein died, his secrets died with him. But for many of those victims, they believe that Ghislaine Maxwell knows all those secrets. And that's why they want to see them exposed in this trial, don't they?
A lot of the victims of Jeffrey Epstein are distraught, understandably, because his death prevented him from being brought to justice. And there was a very, very real concern that with his death, that nobody would be brought to justice. And while Ghislaine is not Jeffrey Epstein, she is accused of participating in this abuse and enabling this abuse. And I think for a lot of victims, while this isn't going to be the same sense of justice if she's convicted, it will accomplish something in terms of bringing to light what allegedly happened in Epstein's orbit, which could potentially mean unveiling these secrets, unveiling the famous, the rich, the privileged who participated in his sex trafficking ring.
Victoria, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
That was Victoria Bekempes and Mark Seal. Do follow Victoria's reporting on this story at theguardian.com, Mark is a special correspondent for Vanity Fair. His profile of Ghislaine Maxwell is already online and will appear in the magazine's August issue. Ghislaine Maxwell is likely to face trial in 2021 and will remain in jail until then. She has always denied any wrongdoing. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Sam Colbert. Sound design was by Axel Cucoutier. The executive producers are Nicole Jackson and Phil Maynard. We'll be back tomorrow.